from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. Today, we're going to find out about how transcendental meditation prevents abnormal enlargement of the heart and reduces chronic heart failure. That would benefit millions of Americans. From Maharishi International University, published in the peer-reviewed journal Ethnicity and Disease. Also today, many people in our audience were concerned about an article that was up on the internet about how vitamins don't work. At the very best, they don't cause harm. At the worst, they kill you. So once again, as we've done so many times, we've looked at the background of the author of the article and their qualifications, the references, and then we reverted over to the PubMed, and we will rebut this deconstructed in its entirety. Also today, I'm going to play a couple of audio clips, video clips, including one about Hunter Biden and why the mainstream media refuses to do the investigation into his background. We're going to play you a court filing against him, and you'll see how much money he actually earned from the Ukrainian deal. It says here $156 million. Also, remember how the entire corporate media and the left in particular, the corporate left, praise Mueller. He was the hero. He would save the day. He would impeach, see that information was given that impeached Trump. And I'm thinking, you got to be kidding. Why don't you look at Mueller's background when he headed the FBI? He's from the deep state. But we're going to let you hear from Robert Mueller himself. It's interesting what happens when you look in the archives. We did. Also, there was a man in New Zealand who was on life support, and the entire life support critical care doctors, all of them, said that he should be taken off life support. He has an infection in his lungs. There's no air pockets in his lungs. He's dead. His son said, but what if we use some vitamin C? They said it's nonsense. And they put it all in writing. There's no benefit. Can't be helped. We'll play the clip from 60 Minutes Australia about his infection with H1N1 and what happened. And also today, we're going to hear from one of the participants. There were several participants that could not start when everyone else started, so I decided to help them and stay in the study longer. So I've stayed an additional 30 days, so they're just finishing their 60 days today. And I said, I was working with this person today out on the road, and I said, come on the air today and just get people unrehearsed, just what has happened to you? What has happened, the study that she's in, the only anti-aging study of this kind ever done, has four components. We'll go through all four components. Luann Panessi will be on the line because I haven't seen the results. I have no idea. I'll get the results after they're independently statistically analyzed, then reviewed by the scientific review panel that actually put together the study, and then I get to know what the results are. So today we'll know what her results are. So that's our program. That should be very interesting. A randomized controlled study recently published in Ethnicity and Disease about hypertension. It's a hypertension study found that the TM technique helps to prevent abnormal enlargement of the heart compared to healthy educated controls. It's also known as the left ventricular hypertrophy, and it can lead to chronic heart failure and death. And it's very prevalent in African Americans. And the risk factors for cardiovascular disease are also higher in African Americans. By the way, you might find it interesting, but about 90% of the people who've attended clinical studies over the last 45 years, I've been doing over 44 actually, this latest 44, have been African Americans and Latinos. And that's true of people I counsel. And when they get onto a program, they really adhere to it. A great deal more discipline, focus, and commitment than I get from the rest of the society and the rest of the ethnic groups. Interesting. Wonder why. If you have an answer, call us. 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. I'm going to hold my own thoughts on that. But despite advances in medical care, cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death in the United States, medical condition. Iatrogenics is actually the first. But as far as diseases, it's heart disease. An abnormal enlargement of the heart, medically known as left ventricular hypertrophy, is a big deal. It doubles your risk of heart attacks, arrhythmia, stroke, heart failure, and death by congestive heart failure. Heart disease death rates are significantly higher in African Americans than in Caucasians, in part because the rate of the condition is, well, I'm not going to answer the study, but I'm going to ask you, why do you believe that heart disease, life expectancy, cancers are higher in the general African American population? 888-874-4888 is our talkback number. I'd like to hear your opinion. Anyhow, this is about prevention. And African Americans suffer from more high blood pressure. And so the African Americans were either assigned to transcendental meditation or a health education control group in addition to the usual care. And they found that those who practiced the transcendental meditation for 6 months had a measurable improvement in stopping the enlargement of the heart and maintaining better blood pressure. So if you can reduce the risk of dying from cardiovascular disease by a measurable, statistically significant amount, that's important. And just with meditation, not including diet supplements or other things that can help as well. From the National Cancer Institute and Harvard University comes a series of 9 prospective studies involving 750,000 adults, and they find that the amounts of leisure time physical activity were linked to lower risks of 7 cancers, with several cancer types having a dose-response relationship, meaning the more exercise you did, the lower the risk of that cancer. And a lot of people participated in this. This was published in the peer-reviewed Journal of Clinical Oncology. Now, while it's long been known that physical activity is associated with a lower risk of several cancers, less clear has been the shape of the relationship and whether recommended amounts of physical activity are associated with lower risk. And here they took a look to see, and they found that people should aim for 2.5 to 5 hours a week of moderate intensity activity, or 1.2 to 2.5 hours a week of vigorous activity. Now, I'm wondering, after looking at the study, why? I believe it's just the opposite. I believe that you should be doing 5 hours a week minimally of exercise, including about 1 hour of that of highly intense exercise. So if you're power walking, you race walk for the last, let's say if you're going to walk 4 miles, the last mile is full out. And for those of you who really wanted to get into shape, but really good shape, lower your body mass index, fat, belly fat in particular, and get muscle strength, you should be doing about 7 hours to 9 hours of exercise a week, of which half of that is intense. Now, I've trained over 33,000 athletes, or just regular people who became athletes, and then I've trained 31 people who were just regular people who wanted to be elite athletes, and they all became elite athletes and are still to this day. Best on the planet, in fact, Sid Howard, Sam Skinner, Thelma Wilson, Louise Nottage, you're talking about phenomenal athletes, and they didn't get there by doing it moderately. There's times in life where you have to give a greater commitment, and I believe if we put more emphasis upon not asking what will the average American do, and then basing everything upon an average compliance, but rather say, here's what you need to do in order to reach that goal. Because for the last 40 years, we've been slipping down almost in everything. The number of books we read, the quality time spent with friends, family, parents, and ourselves, quiet time. And we're just, as a nation, we're addicted to distraction. And that does not help us on any level. So we've got to change the standards and raise the bar on all levels of life. Raise the bar on compassion, empathy, community service, caring for others, caring for ourselves. Instead of just saying, well, everybody else is 20 pounds overweight, so I'm okay. No, you're not. MIT scientist who we had on this program about 3 years ago explains why modern wheat is causing so many health problems. This is from MIT. And they're stating that the use of Monsanto's Roundup herbicide has increased substantially over the last 40 years. And many researchers are starting to believe that increased use of glyphosate, the active ingredient in Roundup, correlates to the rise of many modern diseases. Her name is Dr. Stephanie Seneff. S-E-N-E-F-F. She's a senior research scientist at MIT, and glyphosate appears to be strongly correlated, according to her, with a rise in celiac disease and more generally gluten intolerance. And she published an article in Environmental Science Europe entitled Trends in Glyphosate Herbicide Use in the United States and Globally. It was by Dr. Charles Benbrook. And there have been dramatic increase in the amount of glyphosate sprayed on crops since the mid-1990s. In fact, 1.6 billion kilograms, that's 2.2 pounds, so you're way up there. You're over 3.5 billion pounds of glyphosate have been sprayed all over the world. And almost everybody has it in their tissue, and it's bad to the bone. When I was in Italy last, I took my brothers and a couple friends who are from Italy and speak, needless to say, fluent Italian, and they knew places in the country to go to where we'd have a chance to speak with people, work with people for the day, and it was a wonderful experience. And we came to a place where a family had invited us to have a meal. And I'm looking, oh, there's the gluten, and I don't eat wheat. And I thought, what the heck? Worst that's going to happen is, you know, my nose might run. I might get a little itchiness in the throat, but it'll pass in 3 or 4 hours. I took some quercetin with me and vitamin C, and that always helps. So I, out of being polite to the people, I tried their pasta, and nothing happened. So I then asked them about where the pasta came from. They said, well, we grow it, and they took me out and showed they grow their own wheat. And then they harvest it, and they stone grind it, and as they did in ancient times. And not everyone does that, but in the area that we were in, up in the Alps, Italian Alps, they do. So I'm thinking, that's odd. And then I realized, years ago, when Dr. Donald Mullen and myself and about five friends, we went upstate to buy a farm together in Goshen, which is the richest soil in America. It can be 20 foot deep, and when you walk on it, the earth shakes. It's so rich. It's called black soil. It's pitch black, and I don't care what you plant. It just grows magnificently. In fact, there's some photographs up on my website of me on the farm. I think I'm holding a gigantic, a squash, and yeah. And those of you who used to come up to Fertiller Farm, do you remember we would go from the Fertiller Farm and we would drive down the back road, 209, and we came to Goshen, and then we would spend 2 hours in Goshen on that 70-acre farm. And I gave everybody gigantic black garbage bags, and I said, take all the produce you want and take it home with you. It's a gift. And some people came from, you know, religious groups, and they come up and they would take a bunch to feed a lot of parishioners who were poor. And everybody was surprised what it felt like when they walked on ground that was not solid, that your foot moved. And but when we were looking for the property, there was an orchard, and it was just one of those bucolic orchards. It looked like something Norman Rockwell would have painted. It was about 30 acres, but it's set on a ridge. So from that ridge, you could see miles and miles and miles of all the other farmland. And the man hadn't sprayed his crops. And so I asked him, I said, could I rent your space on weekends to come up and make some apple cider? He said, sure. And he didn't even charge us. He was very kind. And I said, well, I'll make some extra for you and your friends. So Neil Kramer and I, and I, again, I have photographs. You can see this there. We are in our bib overhaul and straw hats. And we actually made that press. That was a challenge, to get oak and then put the slats and get the grinder in and pick up all the down apples. But while picking up the down apples, I thought, what the heck? I know what's going to happen. And again, I'm going to have a little allergic reaction. And I didn't. I ate two apples that day, didn't have anything. And we would make this cider, took us all day to make it, and the deer, families of deer would come and just stand 3 feet from you. And you could hand feed the deer. That was delightful. All of the pumice, what was left after you juiced the apple and grind it up. And they came every Saturday, and I'd bring it in to my friend at Fairway, and Dave, and he would buy it all, and he also supported the first store in New York City to sell certified or organic produce from the farm, and people wouldn't buy it. After 3 months, Dave says, we got to stop. I'm selling it at half the price. So I said, okay, I'll give it to you for free. I'll bring in a truckload and mark it down so ridiculously inexpensive, and he still couldn't sell it. How about that? That was the beginning. That was the first organic produce in New York City. The other guy who said he brought in organic produce, turned out he didn't. We followed him. He was a scam artist out of Philadelphia. In fact, we held hearings with Bess Meyerson, Department of Consumer Affairs, to show how many people were selling products that were fraudulent. And they stopped it. But I learned a couple lessons. The next day when I came back into the city, on a Monday from upstate, and I saw, there's an apple, I'm going to have one. And immediately, all the symptoms of an allergic reaction. And I thought, what is the difference? So I simply did an analysis, found out the apple I bought in the city had been sprayed. The apple upstate had not. The wheat that I would eat here was refined. The wheat that I ate in Italy was not. So this whole idea of having fixed allergies or cyclic allergies could be that it's how something is processed, what is sprayed on it before it is harvested, what is sprayed on it after it is harvested. There's mitigating circumstances, and that's why so often people think they have all these allergies. Don't. They're simply allergic to certain ingredients in foods. So when you get them the purest food, clean food is what we call it, they suddenly are able to consume it. Just a little aside effect. And she's saying now a lot of people are not allergic to the wheat per se, but all the pesticides that's grown on. From Nanjing University of Chinese Medicine, published in the British Medical Journal, Complementary and Alternative Medicine, comes a study about how people with chronic kidney disease could benefit from herbal baths. Yeah. Chinese herbal bath therapy is effective against skin itching caused by uremia. And for thousands of years, the Chinese have treated a variety of skin diseases and with these herbal baths. And now they found out it also helps the kidneys, especially kidneys that are no longer capable of eliminating waste products that build up. And so that was an interesting study. And also one other study, the Ecole Polytechnique Institute in France published a study in Cell Reports about antioxidant enzymes protect telomeres. Now, it's a very technical study, but what it really says is if you want to protect the body, and especially the cells and the cap in caps of chromosomes, the telomeres from shortening and therefore shortening your life, it's important to understand most of this damage comes from oxidative stress. Well, that's normal wear and tear, especially the more polluted the environment you're in, the lack of exercise. Well, how do you reverse that? Simple. You go towards a healthy plant-based diet, lots of healthy, oxygen-rich and nutrient-rich phytonutrients like blueberries and raspberries and strawberries and pomegranate and dark cherries, towards nuts like walnuts and almonds, pecans, vitamins like vitamin C and vitamin E. All that will help the chromosomes and actually builds chromosomes by elongating them. So that's important. Finally, from the University of Virginia Cancer Center, this was a study explained by the Mayo Clinic. If you want to fight breast cancer from spreading, make sure that your gut is loaded with good quality bacteria. How about that? That's relatively simple. We are 21 minutes into our program. We're going to come back in a moment with one of our scholars, Richard Gale, and we're going to take on the latest article to say that no, vitamins are worthless. Well, they're not. But this person's advice may be.
Hang in there, baby.
We'll make love tonight.
Don't be afraid.
That'll make it all right. I know just how you feel. Gonna hold you tight.
But we've almost got it made.
Nice to have you with us, everyone. Before we go to Richard Gale in studio to challenge the idea that vitamins are worthless or even dangerous, I ask people to call in, and let's say hello to Ronald from Long Island. Hi, Ron. You're on the air.
Thank you. I think that the causes for increased heart disease in blacks, it's a combination of things. I think that on the one hand, the increased stress of being black is a factor, and also I think that the fact that many black people don't have the money to necessary to purchase organic food, supplements. Unfortunately, these things are very expensive. I myself would like to take a lot more supplements, but it's just very expensive.
Okay. I appreciate your input, Ronald. Thank you. And if other people would like to share their points of view, I'll hold mine until the end of the show. Please call us at 888-874-4888. Now, mind you, mine was a double question. Why is it that from my lifetime of experience, and I've worked with more people one-on-one than I would imagine any other nutritionist or clinician in health in American history, almost 70,000 people. So the question is, why is it that the people most likely to stick to a protocol, to show improvement, to really excel and be committed to themselves are African Americans? That's also the question I ask. I'd like to hear that addressed. Richard Gale's in studio. Richard.
Good afternoon, Gary.
Richard, read the headline of the article that we are going to challenge.
Yeah, it's the article is written by an Alex Riley. More to say about Alex later, but the article was titled "Why Vitamin Pills Don't Work and May Be Bad for You." I think the subtitle that was this is from BBC site called BBC Future. The subtitle was, "We dose up on antioxidants as if they are the elixir of life, At best, they are probably ineffective. At worst, they may just send you to an early grave. So that's the title of the article. What I think is was telling for me was the not so much that somebody would write an article like this, and Alex happens to be a British celebrity television radio host with a comic bend to him. This is not somebody who has any experience in medicine, generally doesn't write about that. He writes a lot about food fads, and he also writes about different kinds of meat, British cuisine. Let's say British cuisine, not at the top of the apex of the greater cuisines of the planet. What is more telling to me is the fact BBC would spend the time and not vet an article like this, and that they would find reason to publish it. Given over the years, there's been so much research built up. This is an article that is going back and looking at documentation that's 30, 40, 50 years old, and completely ignores a large body of research that debunks these very early claims that there might be dangers in supplements, or trying to poo-poo what Linus Pauling had done. One of the more dangerous, disingenuous, and unfounded statements Alex makes in this article is that the antioxidants can be dangerous for you, and that in fact having free radicals in your body could be beneficial. There may be a little truth to that. The free radical depends on the particular molecule, the particular chemical. Many free radicals are necessary for health. There's no argument about that. But to make this a long statement that therefore antioxidants are dangerous, that's completely misses the point that so many of the diseases today are due to oxidative stress. Our cancers, cardiovascular disease, diabetes, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, and for certain different eye diseases such as cataracts and macular degeneration, these are all known to be due to various forms of oxidative stress. So antioxidants are absolutely essential. The peer-reviewed scientific literature states that. How effective are certain antioxidants? Most always focus on vitamin C, vitamin E, not making a distinction between gamma and alpha in the literature, and that's very, very important. You could probably speak on the differences between that than I can. And beta-carotene. Majority of the research on antioxidant benefits focus on that, and a lot of the research is mixed. But as soon as we begin looking at different plant-based antioxidants, such as green tea and onion because of with quercetin, and soy, and blueberries, and the chokeberry, and other kinds of berries, the body of literature just changes dramatically. And where that you don't have this ambiguity around whether antioxidants are actually protective of disease or not. So many studies, when you speak about vitamin C, you always speak about the need to be taking quercetin as well. Well, none of these studies are supplying vitamin C to the participants of the study and providing quercetin alongside that. If they'd had, you may have very, very different results than just looking at vitamin C alone. The other thing, I think, another very disingenuous claim that Riley makes concerns taking selenium supplements for prostate cancer. And it's misreading, because in what he's stating is this selenium increases the risk of prostate cancer. However, the actual study itself only found that when a person has a very high level of selenium, those participants that already had a very high level of blood selenium and were taking additional selenium supplements on top of that, was there an increase in prostate cancer. So that was taken completely out of context. Therefore, in the way this individual wrote this article, taking selenium will just increase your risk of prostate cancer. This is the kind of spin that not just with this article, but we've seen this sort of spin with Paul Offit and his books, where there's cherry picking of certain scientific peer-reviewed literature or studies that will discredit alternative health. There's that one study or several studies, but ignores a large body of other studies as well. And very often they like to, of course, quote the Cochrane database for being the conclusive voice of evidence-based medicine. But increasingly we're discovering that evidence-based medicine has many very serious flaws, particularly in the way discussions are written up and conclusions are written up in the peer-reviewed literature, when the researcher's bias becomes very pronounced because they have to be able to frame what's called bricolage. Bricolage is a term that's used in England very often for the garbage that scientists use when they try to create their conclusions or their final discussions to try to show that their science was, we should all listen to it and bow down to it as if it's gospel truth. So,
Richard,
those are just a couple of my statements.
Okay. 10 years ago, I tried to become an expert witness on vitamin supplements before the Codex Alimentarius Committee in Europe, where they were trying to determine how much of a supplement you needed. And I saw from one of the people we know and have had on the program, who's America's official representative there, that the dosages were so tiny that I could not find any scientific literature at all to support their usage for what they were intended. And this was called the harmonizing, meaning whatever was done in one country, all countries of the world could only allow that amount of a vitamin or mineral. And if you wanted more than that, you had to get a prescription from your doctor. And there was one example where if you wanted 15 milligrams of zinc, you had to get a prescription, then go to a pharmacist and get your drug there, a vitamin there, or your mineral, in this case zinc, at an astronomical cost. So to support my contention they were wrong, it was politically motivated, mainly by the pharmaceutical industry. I supported 500,000, let me repeat that, 500,000 studies in the peer-reviewed literature on the efficacy, potency, the therapeutic values, and the chemistry of vitamins and minerals. Just that. Now, that was 10 years ago. We have more literature today. So if you were to look in PubMed and look at the therapeutic benefit of vitamin C, you're going to find thousands of studies, thousands, tens of thousands all told, just on one nutrient. So when someone says that vitamins can be dangerous, we just saw this week, as a coincidence, the National Poison Control Center this week issued a report on how many people died of drugs, 200 plus thousand this year. How many died of vitamin use or minerals or herbs? Zero. Not a single person. So at every level, they're wrong. Also, there are over 1,000 studies showing the benefit of selenium, including in the prevention of cancer. So when people do not have a background, do not understand the sciences, and they cherry pick, then to me there is just sloppiness galore. Good for their opinion, not good if they're trying to make people believe that they're science. And here's the bad part. Every day we report on peer review quality science. You never see the articles we report on in the mainstream media. But take a negative report, oh, it's everywhere, as if somehow it is true. Just like you never hear the negative side of vaccines, but you have all the pro-vaccine people having no problem getting into the mainstream media. So fortunately, people are getting smarter. Thank you very much, Rich.
Thank you, Yar.
And before we go to people on the line, our lines are full right now, I want to play you this clip from Robert Mueller testifying, all right, before Congress. And this is the person that everyone said is objective and fair-minded and the best of the best. Yeah, listen to what he had to say.
As Director Tenet has pointed out, Secretary Powell presented evidence last week that Baghdad has failed to disarm its weapons of mass destruction, willfully attempting to evade and deceive the international community. Our particular concern is that Saddam Hussein may supply terrorists with biological, chemical, or radiological material.
Mind you, he was the head of the FBI at that time, was considered one of the foundational support systems for the justification of invading Iraq, an illegal war, by the way. He was wrong. then, and that's one of 40 different things I found that he was wrong about. He was no promoter of liberal views nor freedoms, and he oversaw the FBI when a lot of bad deeds were done. Isn't it amazing when people forget to look at history? Now I'm going to play one more clip, and this clip is, by the way, you can watch these clips if you go over to, youtube.com/PRNFM. Now, this particular clip is a court filing. So these are legal documents that have been filed against Hunter Biden. Here's what, and this is from a news service. It's a short 3-minute clip. Listen to what they have to say.
In the ongoing court case against an alleged mother of his child. One America's Christian Rose looks into the matter.
A new filing with an Arkansas court shows Hunter Biden may be in the middle of several criminal probes related to alleged corruption and money laundering from Ukraine to the U.S. The claim was filed Monday by Florida-based investigative firm DNA Investigations as part of Biden's lawsuit against the alleged mother of his child and former Washington stripper, London Alexis Roberts. Documents show Biden may have earned up to $156 million in proceeds of Ukraine corruption between March 2014 and December 2015.
There is clear evidence of wrongdoing between Hunter Biden, the former Vice President Joe Biden,
you don't yield.
No, I will not, and in Ukraine and the corporation
DNA Investigations says Biden is subject to at least one criminal case, which may also involve his associates Devon Archer and Christopher Hines. The latter is a stepson of John Kerry's. The filing claims the trio opened accounts with the banks Morgan Stanley and China Bank through financial consulting firm Rosemont Seneca, which was an alleged beneficiary in the Ukrainian corruption ring. Previously, reports claimed dirty money went from Ukrainian gas company Burisma to Latvia and then to Cyprus, landing in Biden's pockets.
This company's strategy, after the founder who founded this company and registered in Cyprus, which is a hotbed of Ukrainian and Russian oligarchy criminal obfuscation, they hide their companies there. And the strategy was then, after that, and starting in 2013-14, was to hire big international political players and connected players like Joe Biden's son, Hunter Biden.
Additionally, the DNA filing claims Biden and his team were business partners with Burisma founder and CEO Mykola Zlachevsky and former Ukrainian MP Sergei Leshenko. Zlachevsky gained notoriety over his alleged corruption ties with the Kremlin and Obama-era State Department. Meanwhile, Leshenko was named by Ukrainian prosecutors as a person under protection of former U.S. ambassador to Ukraine, Marie Yovanovitch.
Kasko, Leshenko, Shabunin, okay, Miss Ambassador, Madam Ambassador. Let's continue your untouchable list.
Earlier reports claimed Latvia recently opened a criminal case into the flow of corruption money from Burisma to Cyprus and the U.S. Meanwhile, the DNA filing does not name the agencies or countries that may be currently investigating Biden. It also does not say if recent revelations by Rudy Giuliani or criticism by President Trump played a role in the mounting problems surrounding the Bidens.
Alexander Kwasniewski. He was also hired in 2014, and I think he's still on the board. Hunter Biden had to step down. Devon Archer had to step down due to criminal investigations. So when you've got big names like Kwasniewski or Joe Biden's son, Hunter Biden, shilling for this company, it just is a mask for corruption. This company is infamous for it, and their heads of it have been in and out of legal sanction.
The Arkansas court has yet to review the claim and establish its veracity. It remains unclear if DNA would release additional evidence to support its claims, while the parties involved have yet to provide commentary on the matter. Christian Rose, One America News.
Want to see more videos like
this? Bring it down. So, there we have it. Why is no one at any of the major media looking into this? If it's false, let them do the investigation, provide their evidence, and say this is a false claim. But what if it's real? I have seen two interviews to date with the two former prosecuting generals of the Ukraine, the one before Biden, who was fired because of Biden, and the one after Biden, who was hired to support the Obama administration, and both of them said the same thing, that this company, Burisma, was corrupt, laundering money, and that's why Biden's son was on the board, and John Kerry's wife's son, Heinz. She had been married to the Heinz ketchup guy. And they were both on there together, and they formed another company that would take the money and then put it into another account. That should be investigated. And then whatever the truth is, let it come forward. Instead of simply saying in unison, nothing to see here, keep moving. Yeah, there's a lot to see. We're going to go over to a person in a moment who's standing by, but I'm going to go through real quick. Please, everyone, I'm going to take your calls right now. Chad from New York City, but make your points very brief, please. Chad, you're on.
Hi, Gary. Hi, Gary. How are you?
Good.
Very well. I wanted to clean up a comment that the last gentleman said, where he said it's stressful being black. It's not that it's stressful being black. It's stressful living in a racist country while being black. That causes a great deal of stress. And that stress will lead to high blood pressure, kidney failure, on and on and on. But the last thing I want to say is that most black people, or many black people, don't see nutritionists. And not having a nutritionist in your day-to-day activity, well, you get poor food, you eat poor, eat improperly, and there it is. Thank you, Gary.
Thank you very much, Chad. Denise from Brooklyn, your turn. You're on the air.
See, as we know, stress is a fundamental or profound cause for disease or sickness, right?
Yes.
And as a person who is a bigoted person who admits to be bigoted, that I know, used to say, your folks catch hell, you know? And through that, though, that is considered an obstacle, stress. But at the same time, stress can become a cause for mental strength and spiritual strength. And I think that's what allows the people that you see to be more disciplined, because that mental and spiritual strength is what allows us to continue in the first place. So stress can make you sick, but on the other side, yin-yang, it can cause great obstacle, can cause great benefit. And I think that's what you're seeing. Have a good day.
Thank you, Denise. I appreciate your input. Douglas from Brooklyn, you'll be the last person I can speak to. Hi, Douglas.
Oh, how you doing? Listen, yeah, I'm going to tell you what the deal is. It's malnutritious foods that are coded to be sent to the black, brown, and struggling white communities. I mean, if you have say, for instance, like in North Carolina, you have a food line that's near our community. You know, the food is not really that healthy. You know, there's nothing there. There's no volatile. There's no nutrition to it. A lot of it is supposed to be vegetable, and sometimes the food is small. You have to smell it. You go across town to the other areas where you have, it's more upscale, and deal with those supermarkets, in a lot of cases, those who are more or less like health-conscious folks and whatnot. You know, that's just the way it flows, man. I think it's in the food, the injection, and the game that plays with that whole, these foods are warehoused and whatever for how long before they sent to these areas. That's all I have to say for right now.
Douglas, thank you. All of you, Chad, Denise, Douglas, I appreciate your input. I don't have time to give my own response. I will on an upcoming program and encourage other people to think on the issue. There's many different truths that we have to look at, not just one simple truth. And we're going to open up for all those truths to be shared because they're all pieces of the puzzle. But now we have someone who's on the line. Let's say hello to her now. You can give your name or not. I won't give it if you don't want to.
Hi, Gary. Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine.
Hi, my name is Anani, and I'm still doing my endurance walking. I'm on the road. I just stopped to call in and let you know how I'm doing.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I've been up since 5 in the morning, and you requested that we go as far as we can until we're tired, not to come back foaming in the mouth. And so far, I'm at 20.4 miles since 5 o'clock this morning.
So you've been at this, and you're at... But here's what's important, Anine. You started the first day where the most you could do is 2 miles. So you've gone from 2 miles to 21 miles, and you're still going strong. later today we'll pre-record what you finally end up with and play it on Monday, but we don't have a lot of time. I want to go through the changes you've had, the study, the anti-aging clinical study you're part of, and finishing up the first part today, has four components. First is the first component, which is the blood workup, and Luann is on the phone now. She went over your blood work with you, and you're giving us permission to report on your blood work, correct?
Yes.
Okay, good. Luann Panessi, who's one of the administrators of the study. Luann, go through the most important biological markers, the objective science of what happened with her blood.
Well, first of all, Anani is diabetic. She came to us with some diabetes, which is not a good thing. And her hemoglobin A1C started out as 7.1, which is quite elevated, and she came down to 6.7. Now, for a diabetic, that is very significant. Every tenth of a point is significant, and she's horrific. So that's a very significant thing. When she first came in, her glucose was 119. And that's elevated. That's above average. And it's even good for her as a diabetic because her blood sugar was normally much higher than that. So now she's in a whole nother, she's all the way down to 95, Gary. 95 is normal. She's got a normal blood sugar. So you've got a tumbling hemoglobin A1C and a glucose that went down to the normal value.
Her original blood sugar was, Anonym, wasn't around 190?
Yes, actually, when I first came, it was because my doctor told me that diabetes is a progressive disease, and if I don't get it under control, she's going to put me on insulin. And that's when that scared me, and I decided to look for, you know, some kind of program, and I found you. My A1C when I got to the retreat was 189. And I had asked you, what am I going to do? And you suggested I power walk not only the 2 miles in the morning, but one in the afternoon. And so I had built up to 4 miles in the morning and 2 miles in the afternoon. And in the following days, my blood sugars dropped like 50 points. I was quite impressed and hooked on the protocols you were offering.
Luann, go through just two more of the most remarkable blood. Mind you, the blood chemistries that we're measuring, the cells, the DNA and the blood, these are objective. This is not subjective. And these were all selected by a group of scientists and given to me, and we honored that, and they saw the results. They were analyzed. I haven't seen the results. I'm the last person to get the results. So I'm going to hear them when you give them to me right now, Luann.
Well, I'm going to give you a couple of them. Her albumin was 4.9, which is elevated, came right down to normal at 4.7. Very impressive is her LDL, which is the bad cholesterol. She was all the way up at 113. She's all the way down to 105. And every single point, especially when you're diabetic, is very significant. So she did absolutely terrific.
And statistically significant.
Yes.
Keep going.
She came in with a free testosterone of 1.9, and my God, she was all the way up to 68. That's amazing. So, yeah, that's just terrific. I'm so happy for her on that. And then, her DHEA went all the way up. And the DHEA is your master hormone, so that's very, very impressive. What's also impressive is the fact that she came in at over 135 pounds, and she's all the way down to 129, and I'll bet after she does this workout, she's going to be even lower.
Well, I want to correct you. I was 139 when you first took my weight at the villa, and today I'm 128.
There you go. And that's because you've got muscle.
She's got a lot of muscle. Now, the second part, we won't go through any more. There's 67 different markers in the blood. Let's go through what is one of the most remarkable things, because I was there timing her and counting, and she counted, and the other participant counted at the same time. for backup, to make sure we were accurate. Tell Luann, tell them what she did in the gym.
Well, I don't have those stats right in front of me, but Ananis, okay. You can tell us what you did in the gym.
Ananis, speak up loudly, please.
Okay, well, I just about doubled or tripled my strength. I was surprised. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but my crunches, I probably did 125, and when I was tested last, I could do 250 crunches before I got tired. But my lap downs increased about, it doubled or tripled my lap downs. I don't have those numbers. And my squat, I remember I did about 400 the first time, and that could be 600. I feel really strong.
Hold on. Hold on a second. I've got your results right here. The first day when we were testing everyone with that special exercise physiologist in the gym, you did 50 sit-ups. Your final sit-ups were 200. Your push-ups, you did 45 push-ups the first day. No, the 34 the first day, and then you did 45 at the finish. Let's see here. You did 10 and then 30. This is funny because two of them are doing this together. This other guy is very strong. And
yes.
Your mile, you went from 21 minutes and 6 seconds in a mile. That's how long. Now you did 12 minutes and 15 seconds.
Yes.
He did 22:09 and came in right behind you. It was funny to... He thought he was real strong, and you just whizzed right by him. But a 12-minute mile is as fast as almost any of the other people, including John, who is terrific. That's a phenomenal mile, by the way. As I told you, at your age, you're 64.
Yes.
If you would have been in a state championship, you would have come in third at that age. You did the VersaClimber the first time. You did the VersaClimber. You're able to do... 3 minutes and 23 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
This time you did 75 minutes.
Yes.
Now think of that. From 3 minutes to 75 minutes. You did squats. You did first time 400 squats. This time you did 600 squats. And the last 175 squats, I put 80 pounds on. That's phenomenal. The ropes. Initially, you did 27 seconds. This time, you did 16 minutes. The lat pull downs. You did 55. The lat pull downs. No, you did 125. This time, you did 250. And then you balanced yourself. Initially, it was only like 1 minute and 30 seconds. This time it was 3 minutes and 27 seconds on the right leg, and you did 37 seconds on your left leg. This time it was 3 minutes and 1 second. These are phenomenal increases. I mean, you're looking at changes that are just, we're talking about hundreds of percent increase in your strength, endurance, stamina, flexibility. Your body is completely changed, your belly is completely down, your percentage of body fat dropped tremendously, and that's the second part. The third part, you came in with a depression scale of 8. What is it today?
Depression.
Zero.
Zero.
Zero. Zero.
I'm
from depressed better. To no depression.
Yeah, I'm sleeping better, and I don't wake up feeling sluggish. So... most impressively, my body has just tightened up all over. I feel like I'm between 35 and 40, and I'm 64. And you said that you can do that, and I want to challenge myself and see if that would really be true. And I think I'm getting there, and I'm feeling strong. I have a little muscle in my arm. So I'm very impressed. I'm very happy.
Good for you. You're hearing her on a cell phone on a road where she's going to continue. Please continue on your walk. We want, and this is a fast walk she's doing. She's almost at 22 miles from 2 miles to 22 miles in 60 days. A totally different body. Her percentages are going to be off the chart at the things she's done. And she came with a depression she's had for a long time. No depression now. I asked her this morning, what was your depression scale? She said, it was at 8, now it's 0. I have no depression whatsoever. I feel terrific. By the way, 7 other people have come to the same understanding. They no longer have depression. So that's terrific. Thank you very much, Annanine. Luann, one of the things that Richard didn't mention, Richard Gell, on earlier in the program is the gold standard of all science is reproducibility. And I was asked a week ago by the scientists who are behind this and creating the protocol, and these are some of the leading anti-aging scientists, if not the leading anti-aging scientists in the world, would I be open to reproducing this where they would oversee it? Meaning, if you come up with results, someone else should be able to take your exact protocol, follow the protocol, and come up with the same results. That's reproducibility. And I said, yes, I will be there. I'll do the lectures in the evening and throughout the day, but I won't administer it. And they said they'll have their own MD, PhDs there throughout the 60 days. So we're going to do our reproducibility study, and then it's going to be released to the public and to the scientific community. And we believe at this point, you've seen the blood, I haven't, you've seen the results, I haven't, but from what I'm hearing, it's changed people's lives, and that's what's important, and is de-aging them and reversing conditions and reversing diseases. So, and all this is completely scientifically, medically validated at the highest levels and the highest standards. And you can bet that the pharmaceutical industry and the quack watch and all these other nut jobs, they're not going to like the results because it's going to threaten their income stream from all the money that is made with big pharma. When if you go from being highly diabetic, 195, down to non-diabetic, imagine how many people could no longer suffer and have amputations and diabetic neuropathy if they knew that there was another truth. But it's a disciplined program. You know, it's not a frat party. You know, it's not a party. It's not a time to come and make new friends and socialize. This is a boot camp. You got to be serious. You got to be on campus for 60 days, no exceptions. You know, you have to do this right because it's going to be criticized. I'm going to have people looking for every way they can to pick it apart. We already have gotten word that someone tried to infiltrate the group so as to, you know, see what we were doing. And we found out who that person might be and are doing background checks on them now. And so if you want to be a part of what you're hearing now, and there's everyone else has got all their work in, it's all fine, it's all being done, and I should have all the results by Monday, then give us a call, give Luann a call, and it's going to be 60 days starting the second week of March. So it'd be March and April, and ending in May 15th. So that's the schedule. Got to be there. There are costs involved, but Luann was just searching all over the world for anyone else doing anything on anti-aging. My God, you can't believe what they're charging at one place in Spain, and they're booked a year in advance, and don't do any of the stuff that we're doing. They do yoga, meditation, but none of the juices, none of the nutrients, none of the supplements, none of the guided visualizations, none of the self-actualization discussions, none of the deeper journaling. They try to do the fast food version of this. No, this is the real McCoy. And it's historic. And now we're going to duplicate it. Give us your number, Luann.
Totally. It's 903-881-7008. That's 903-881-7008. Give me a call, and I interview everybody to make sure it's right for you.
But you got to have a positive disposition. If you're a negative, bitter, angry person, please do not call Luann. Because that kind of person that you know, the chronic victim person, that person's never going to see a difference. To change your DNA, to change the vibration of that DNA, change the molecular configuration, you have to have a positive attitude. That's where the journey begins. We're out of time, everyone. Thank you for joining us and listening in today. Look forward to sharing more on our next program. Have a nice day, everyone.